is Grace Marquis, and I have the pleasure of being co-chair for this wonderful panel this afternoon. And I'm a nutritionist, and so it's for me it's fascinating to be able to hear all these fabulous presentations this morning and this afternoon on the risks to the populations that I work with in Latin America and Africa. So I'm very appreciative of the time that our speakers have taken to enlighten us and to help us to understand the challenges that the people, David Morley so eloquently spoke about last night, the challenges that they are facing. I'd like to invite our next speaker to come up. Dudley Adloff has been the chief director for the Farms Support and Development Program at the Provincial Department of Agriculture Western Cape for the last 5 years. This program ensures a sustainable support mechanism for the new and established farmers, leverages investment from the private sector and commodity groupings, ensures quality extension and advice and services to the farmers, and facilitates access to affordable and diverse food through the delivery of agricultural products at communal and household level, and measures the impact of these interventions as delivered by their program. In his position, he seeks out applicable new technology to implement functional systems to enhance service delivery, and he was instrumental in the development of a comprehensive agricultural information management system. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Afternoon, everyone. You see, I'm not what we call the graveyard shift. You know, it's after lunch, everyone is sitting quietly, and we have to talk about food when all the food are being digested as we sit around. But thank you for the invitation. I had to, like our rugby team, we know that it's a rugby season now, and in South Africa we're very passionate about rugby. And I was glad to be the substitute to stand in for this opportunity. But I would like to share some practical experiences from the Western Cape. But first of all, I want to orientate you so that you can exactly know where we are situated, and I want to explain to you some of the challenges we face in the Western Cape for producing agricultural produce, and then go around and explain to you how we perceive what is happening in the world and how we have to respond to that over time. And you'll see a lot of the topics that has already been covered by most of the speakers will be touched on, but the linkages will be made to a practical space where actual production should happen. So for us, it is really, if, you know, I think it's about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock now in South Africa, and there's a lot of people that will go to bed tonight without having anything to eat. And our work in agriculture is to see that we get food security going for all. And we differentiate between food security for all. We have to focus on the vulnerable. We call it food security for the vulnerable, or the indigent, and we have to focus on food security for South Africans. Because there is people are divorcing food production from food consumption. They think food comes out of a shopping center. They don't know food comes from a production area somewhere, especially in South Africa. If you ask children nowadays, you know, and I saw it in France as well, and in Canada, that the average age of a farmer is getting older. And there's not enough new blood coming into the sector. And that is also a big threat for food security. But okay, let me give you some perspective. We're situated there at the tip of Africa. And that's the Western Cape province. And you'll see where we're situated in South Africa. And what I want to do now is to take you through a few slides just to show the harsh conditions that our farmers must farm under and how extremely difficult is between the different seasons. You take a wet season, for example, this is a dry season, you'll see it's in February. We've got our summer period between February. We don't have rain during our summer period, we've got winter rainfall, it's a Mediterranean area. And if you look at how green it is there during the winter, and you'll see that the two differences is if you come in the summer, you'll think it's a semi-desert, if you come in the winter, you'll think it's a wonderfully green area like Burgundy. Or somewhere in Europe. And most of our farmers, we've got dry land farming, And the core commodities, wheat, dairy, wine production, fruit, deciduous fruit production in that specific area. If you look at our irrigated areas, it's indicated in the green there, you'll see that we have to preserve our water, we have to store a lot of water to be able to produce enough agricultural produce over time. So during the winter, our winter rains, we'll have to store our water for the summers to be irrigated. Just some figures on agricultural production in Western Cape. We've got 600,000 commercial farmers. We've got some 9,800 smallholder farmers. We are 10.6% of the total area of South Africa, and we produce about 16.6% of 55% of all the produce in South Africa. And we are quite a dry region. So our farmers are very, very good farmers in the sense they over time has developed a lot of initiatives to be able to farm under these conditions. Then we also a country, as you know, our history in South Africa, we have a lot of poor people, and that's our poverty index in the Western Cape. And you'll see that most of our poor people, although that big area in the red shows where the most of your poor people are supposed to be according to the index, but in your smaller areas in your metropole, there is in numbers more poor people living in our urban areas. So, just to give you an indication how last year the drought has affected our production, and you'll see that the brown areas and the red areas indicates areas where it's very dry. And I'm going to give you a slideshow quickly just to show you how harsh the drought was last year. And you can see how it's spreading in the southern parts of the province. And you can see the red coming in. You can even see that was a critical area where there was almost 10% water left for human consumption. So we had to stop giving farmers water in order to get water to humans. And you can see that it was at its worst stage, and then it started moving north, and it just gives you an idea of the type of areas that we have. So what I want to do now is just to take you under, to show you that since 1970, and thank you for my colleague, we use some of his organization's information, but since 1970, in South Africa, if you look at the southern part, South Africa, it's in yellow, you'll see, in 1970, we were still having a big percentage of our population that's undernourished, between 5 and 15%. In 1980, it was still the same. And then, you know, during the 90s, it was also still the same, and then we went over into a democracy, where a new government and where a new approach to how to alleviate poverty and how to look after the poor people. So you see in 2000 and in 2003 that it became that our undernourished people in South Africa decreased from 15% to lower than 5%. And why was that the case? If you could look at over time, the household survey that has been done, it will show you that people that were seldom hungry and those that were always hungry, all of it decreased over time since 2002-2006. And the simple reason for that is that government had to create a safety net for people in the country. And so the first thing is that we know now that we've got fewer hungry people than any time in the history of South Africa. And that is simply because if you look at the production per capita, and if you go look at transfers from government over time to the poor, and we call it grants. It's grants for people to access money to buy food. You'll see that the increase in transfers has increased. Therefore, the government intervention creating a safety net was necessary to start addressing poverty in our area. And we want to link this initiative of government now with the production of food. And I'll show you later on. And I think the Brazilian model is a very good model where they link government procurement with the production of food by smallholder farmers to be able to see that there's a constant supply and production in the rural areas. To go on, is that our population growth in South Africa, we in South Africa produce more than what our population growth is in terms of food. And that graph shows that. Also, our per capita production is reasonable. We don't have actually problems there. So in other words, South Africa, we keep track, our production keep track with our population growth. So we don't have a problem with that specifically, but we have a problem, and it was mentioned earlier, is that we are influenced by world prices because of our calorie imports. If that is our normal imports, that's our exports, and we're quite okay with imports and exports. Because if you look at our wine exports over time, you know, we have increased significantly in wine production and in fruit production and so forth. But the problem is that those are high-value produce that we export. The point is, how do we start producing so that we make sure that we have food security for a longer period and not use our resources only for the high-end food market? And if you look at our total cumulative exports over time, those are top export categories, and you'll see it's all in the, almost in the non-basic stuff that we're exporting. So, let's keep that. So Africa shows growth in the net value of exports. We don't have a problem with that either. However, if it comes to calories and the import of calories, and what we import basically is a lot of rice, hence our calorie, our net calorie imports, if you go look at this here, is that we are deficit exporter of calories. And that influences our price. Because what has been happening in South Africa also is that your middle class, because of our empowerment strategies, there is a bigger middle class growing. And we'll see later on how there was a food trend, there's a trend break that happened. And that also influenced the prices that we take. Those were the baseline price of barley, wheat. Everyone touched on that, and the spikes has been shown over time and so forth. Biofuels, we've touched on that. Everyone has shown that there's a definite increase in the usage of that, specifically. By us, the production of animals went up. Because of this trend break, dietary changes happening. People eat less staples, they eat more meat products. And if you think of more meat products, in our case, you need about 1 kilo to produce 1 kilo of poultry, you need 4 kilos of maize. For 1 kilo of beef, you need 12 kilos of maize. So it means that the demand for the maize and wheat went up, and that also increased the price because people eat more meats. The per capita consumption of meat went up through the roof, and we can look at that in the AOC, OECD, and the non-OECD countries. So I'm not going to go through that. That was discussed on how the wheat prices went up and stabilized and so forth. And I'm not going to go to the world population. We all know that in continents, in Africa, we've got a spike in population versus Europe. And that is also where your trends and people's living standards are becoming better, and it causes a trend break. In other words, people move to a different dietary regime. And because of that demand, we have higher prices that we experience. Let me not go into... This is the important slide. In our case, our poor people are almost using more than 75% of their income on food. And by 2015, if we don't do something drastically about it, like, for example, the safety nets, they will spend 115% of their income on food, much more than what they're earning. And that is a concern, because then you have social cohesion issues and you have riots on your hands for that. So it's important that our strategies must be vigilant to go and move into that. And just to show you again here, between blacks and white South Africans in different provinces, these are our different provinces at the bottom. The Western Cape one is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth one. You see that blacks in the Western Cape use more than 27% of their income on food, whereas the whites is better off at 15-16%. And the trend in some areas is higher. So there's still differences between races even on how they what their expenditure on food and so forth. And this is important for us to deal with it, because it creates social cohesion issues. Let me move on. So in our case, we need to protect the vulnerable to be able to do that. And the way forward is for us We say that the UN declaration that we need to feed the hungry first. That's important. We need, as been said by the World Bank, we need food for tomorrow as well. And how do we get this food for tomorrow going? So we are saying that in our case we have a lot of different strategies for your safety net. We've got food gardens, food stamps, consumer subsidies, we're looking at emergency feeding schemes and so forth and so on. But what's important is there's three elements into the future. It's research, extension, and training. And we will focus specifically on the smallholder section of South Africa. And that is just one slide in conclusion to say that how can we engage and support more strongly the smallholder farmer? And we say the first element is we need farmer support. We need to improve the quality and reach of farmer support to all the farmers in the rural areas. We need to mobilize farmers. We need to make them understand what they can do and how they can do it through extension and so forth. We need to get them access to markets. We have hospital schemes, we've got prisons, we've got clinics, and all of them are buying food from the normal market. And there's a big market for us there for our smallholder farmers to start producing for them. And then logistical support. How do we get all of this food together in one space and distribute that? And we've got all problems around this, and I don't think we have enough time to discuss that. But from my side, thank you very much for listening to what we have to say, and I just wanted to bring it more to a practical level and say this is what we know what's happening in the world, and we're trying to address that in our area in the Western Cape. Thank you very much.